The Healthy Insights podcast features conversations with the leading minds in the field of health and well-being. Our hope is for you to gain insights, learn something new, and discover some valuable takeaways from our fascinating group of guests. Host Jim Narum is a respected leader with over 30 years of experience in the employee health and well-being field. The Healthy Insights podcast is brought to you by Asset Health, a comprehensive health and well-being services and technology provider. Asset Health's approach is based on actively cultivating the idea that your health is your most valuable asset.
Hi, everyone. This is Jim Narum, your host of the Healthy Insights podcast. This episode's guest is Howard Kraft, Staff Vice President, Total Health Clinical Strategy with Anthem. I first met Howard early in our respective careers in Stamford, Connecticut, when he worked for Champion International, leading their health management and benefits communications. Champion International was awarded the C. Everett Koop National Health Award twice and was also rated as one of the healthiest companies by Fortune and healthiest for women by Working Mother during Howard's tenure there. Howard then held key leadership roles over the next 16 years with Mercer as a partner and member of Mercer's global health management practice, and also served in several roles in Mercer's total health management specialty practice group, including being its North American practice leader. Howard also held a key consulting role with the Benfield Group for a couple of years. During his benefit consulting years, Howard was always known for being a trusted advisor to the clients he worked with. His willingness and ability to have direct and honest conversations with clients resulted in trusting long-term relationships. In Howard's current role at Anthem, he leads the Total Health Account Management team, consisting of Behavioral Health EAP and Clinical Account Management. Howard and his team are responsible for defining clinical and population health strategies, targets, and plans in collaboration with many other Anthem teams. Howard is currently the board chair of the nonprofit Leadership Forum community, and he was also a past regional president of the International Association for Worksite Health Promotion and was a recipient of its Exceptional Leadership Award. Howard received his master's degree in exercise physiology from Adelphi University and his bachelor's degree from the State University of New York. Howard's thoughts and views in our conversation are his own, which may or may not reflect Anthem's thoughts and views. Hi, Howard. Welcome to the podcast. I'm really happy to have you as a guest. You and I have known each other for many years, stretching back to the days when I used to live and work in Stamford, Connecticut, which is when we first met.
Good to see you, Jim, and good to be with you.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So, Howard, early in your career, we'll start with that, and then we'll come back to your current role. But early in your career, you worked for two large corporations, and was a trusted advisor to large employers. Tell me about the early days where you first started out.
Well, in the early days, you had a master's in exercise physiology and a concentration in cardiac rehab. And I thought that is exactly what I would do for the rest of my career. Fortunately, through my early employer days, I got exposed and to an organization that was Champion International, was very focused on getting to know the business and getting to really become part of the culture of the organization. Tremendous training and development opportunities. If you raise your hand and you're willing to jump into a different project or something, I did that, and you know, as did many other people. So I got exposed to a lot more than simply exercise physiology and the clinical side of the world, to more of the business side of health, which I really enjoyed. And that, I think, just paved the way for every subsequent iteration of my jobs and my career, and led me to getting into consulting and now I'm at Anthem. So it was a natural progression, but I'm so grateful for the opportunity that those organizations gave me, because they they changed my view on who I wanted to be when I grew up.
That's awesome. And with the Champion International, especially from a health and well-being standpoint, Champion won the C. Everett Koop National Health Award twice when you were there, and they were also rated as a healthiest company by Fortune and a healthiest for women by Working Mothers. So really sounds like a great situation and a learning experience really early in your career.
Absolutely, Jim. I use things that I learned at Champion every day, and the connections and the perspective. I think the thing about Champion, it was a traditional forest products manufacturing company, but with a very progressive CEO, a very progressive HR organization, who really valued participative management, involvement, collaborative decision making with unions and across the entire organization. So I think that kind of interest-based approach, what's in the best interest of the people, what's in the best interest of the business and all the stakeholders involved, really was inspiring. It led to a lot of great work that I was lucky to be part of.
Yeah, that's great. So so after Champion, you spent, I would say, probably middle, maybe even two thirds of your career working in the consulting realm, both for Mercer and a couple stints at Mercer with the Benfield Group in the middle of that. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, I spent 16 years in consulting, and I got into consulting because I wanted to have exposure to multiple industries, multiple companies. It was a way of broadening and deepening my learnings and hopefully some degree of value creation. So phenomenal experience. Got to work with so many different organizations, different needs, different situations. Branched out from being a specialist to more of a generalist. I did international work. I did broad healthcare strategy and a lot of different things. And I think what I found in consulting is, again, if you have an interest, a desire to learn and to with a focus on creating value and being really client-centric, the doors were wide open to you, and of course you had to deliver the goods, but they're very entrepreneurial, which I loved, and just a wonderful experience. And the Benfield Group, again, another, it was a shorter period of time working with Chuck Reynolds and the team there, but the whole focus on really thinking about the narrative and the storytelling, and how it was more than just numbers and you had to capture the emotion. Again, so many things I've learned from those different situations. I'm a glutton for learning, and consulting provided me with that opportunity. It was a good solid run.
Well, and I think the one thing that I valued for my time living and working in the Northeast is really the learning the art and science of speaking directly, being and I think you've lived in the Northeast all of your life. So tell about that, both from when you worked for the companies early, but certainly as a consultant, being able to be direct and, with respect. Tell me about that.
Well, I guess I've never been accused of not being direct, Jim. So, for better or worse. And part of that's probably growing up in the Northeast. And I think, early on, I learned from others that feedback was a gift. Being honest with people was a gift. When I first got into consulting after being on the employer side for so many years, at first, I wasn't sure just how honest I could be. I knew I wasn't the ultimate decision maker. Then as I went through the first, 2, 3, 4 years, I realized that in effect, people wanted to know the truth. They ultimately owned the decision making, but they wanted the truth. And if I sugarcoated it too much, if I didn't, you know, come clean with them, they would see through it and they wouldn't have the information that they needed to guide their decision making and so on. So honestly, I made a career out of just being direct and honest. And I think sometimes, obviously, that, you know, is at a bit of a conflict with your clients because they may not want to hear the unbridled truth. But I think ultimately it probably won over more people than others. And I've always tried to say what I learned on the employer side, understand what it's like to be in that chair, understand that they've got a hard job, they're trying to achieve certain objectives, and help them to do that. And then I think you can, not to say you can get away with it a lot, but it does create some latitude in what the kind of conversation you can have, as long as you stay focused on helping them. If you deviate and it's about you, then you know, all bets are off, and it's I don't think it's the winning proposition.
Yeah, I totally agree. So is there, from your consulting days, is there one organization that you have a story that they just got it right from a employee health and well-being standpoint?
One comes to mind. I won't name names, but there are a number of companies that did many things right. And the one company that comes to mind, a few themes come to mind with that particular company. One, they viewed health and well-being as a business strategy. They knew that in order to produce the stuff that they produced, to sell it in the marketplace and make a profit, they needed to focus on the health and well-being and the overall human capital of their people. And so number one, it was a business strategy. And then, you know, as a result of that, then you say, what drives, what's part of a really good business strategy? Well, it's measurement focused. It's, you know, it has defined metrics and objectives, and it involves multiple stakeholders. So you have to bring multiple stakeholders along. And it is, if it's a business strategy, it's never accomplished in a short period of time. You may get some wins, but you have to leverage those wins because you have to have a long-term strategy. So I think this organization was very demanding. They were demanding of the people and vendors that served them, but very reasonable, very understanding that this was a long haul. And I think the last thing is, you know, as relates to that long haul, is they believed in a sustained commitment, and that it would have some ups and downs along the way, but that sustained commitment was really important. Because what they understood, that it was about trust. They understood that, you know, if they did not have a sustained commitment to health and well-being as part of an overall business strategy, their employees, their union members, their family members would not believe in them. And once you decrease stress, engagement goes down, activation goes down, all the things that are important to driving the best health outcomes diminishes. And they understood that really well. There's a lot of other things that they did well, but I would highlight those few examples, Jim.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we have found as well. And so that's great. Okay, so now back to current state. With your current role with Anthem as a staff vice president of total health clinical strategy, talk about what keeps you up at night, but also what drives you for in your current role.
Well, just step back and, you know, talk a little bit about my role, and then I'll tell you about the multiple things that keep me up at night. Besides being an old guy. But anyway, one is, you know, I am responsible for our clinical account management and behavioral health EAP teams. So about 50 folks who serve our clients, in essence, as trusted advisors to help them understand the data, the situation that they're involved with, and make recommendations to them that should be, when we do our jobs really well, agnostic of what Anthem can do. if we're truly that trusted advisor and truly, you know, as we say, relentlessly focus on problem solving on behalf of our clients, then ultimately they'll ask us, well, what can you do to help? How are you helping? And, you know, if you are helping us, how is it working? Are we getting value from it? So that team is certainly a central part of my efforts. But ultimately, I view my role as serving as the voice of the client, you know, coalescing what we hear from all of our clients or all of our team members and using that information to drive better performance by our service entities, better reporting and analytics that help our clients really understand whether or not value is created or not, and think about where we go as an enterprise. So if, again, I go back to that theme of client centricity, is we do that, and we are evolving as an organization, and we want to adopt that client-centric consultative approach and do it better than anyone else because we are so focused on them. So what keeps me up at night? I'll say a few things. One is making sure that all of our team members are focused just on that item, because I think in any environment you can become distracted. You can, you know, there's so many different things at play. What keeps me up at night is that our market expectations, or the expectations of the market of us and everybody else, are rapidly evolving. And faster than, you know, we'd like, probably, like all of us would like, but it's the reality. And as such, I think what keeps me up at night is, how do we as an organization continue to evolve? How do our people continue to evolve their skill set to meet those needs? You know, when you and I got into the business, everything was on site. We moved to telephonic, we moved to web, and now we're in a world where digital and everything else is changing the world so much. You know, some have said that medical knowledge doubles every 70, 73 days or so. Well, our clients, our providers, our members that we serve, you know, are in that environment where there's the speed and volume of change is so great. How do we stay relevant? How do we continue to add value? That's what really keeps me up at night, Jim.
Yeah. Now, I think that's great insights there. So so what are the things that you're seeing in the evolution of the field and the services that you're providing at Anthem? What are some of those things that are evolving very quickly and both to create challenges but also opportunities as well?
You know, I think a few things come to mind. One is, we're certainly aware of the advances in technology, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and how technology is reshaping everything. And I think when it comes to health, healthcare, health and well-being, you know, there's the fear that technology will get in the way of kind of this very intimate, people-oriented problem solving that we need to do. Well, you know, we do believe that also that technology is the tool to not depersonalize health and healthcare, but actually personalize it even more. And also, technology is a way to enhance in human performance. So when we think about people on the phone talking to members about their health, you know, they're good people. They're well-intended. Some are really fantastic at what they do. Some are just good. How do you get the good people to be really, really good or excellent all the time? Well, I think that's another role where technology plays a role and can actually enhance human performance, enhance that human connection that's so important in our field. The last thing I would say, Jim, and I think all of these issues have been true for as long as I've been in the business, but they've been really illuminated in the last 15 months. You know, the issues of social determinants of health, the issues of health disparities and true inequities in health, healthcare, in our entire environment. COVID, social injustice, the shining the light on all these issues that, you know, perhaps were just behind the curtain for some, but too, you know, very real for others. I think those issues really create both an opportunity for us to do things differently and to really get to the heart of the matter and make fundamental change. So I'm encouraged, you know, but it's terrible. I mean, a lot of what's going on, goes on in society is not right. And I think as we think about health and well-being and we think about making a difference, all those issues, health inequities, health disparities, social drivers of health are so much more important, or at least equally important, as whether or not somebody has diabetes, heart disease, they're stressed out or anxious. You have to really look at it, all of it. And how do we bring that together on a moment-to-moment basis with everything we do? That's the challenge I think we face.
Well, it sounds like we're both of us are going to still have jobs. There's plenty of work to do. And I, like you, am hopeful for the future, and am not afraid of trying to avoid things, but hitting it head on and trying to make things better in a lot of different fronts.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of opportunity, and you know, I always think of it. Sometimes a lot of people talk about career evolution and so forth. And I always say there's not a shortage of jobs, you know, out there in the health arena. It's just finding the job that where there's really strong alignment between your sense of purpose, your passion, and ultimately, you know, your capabilities. But there's tremendous opportunity out there to make a difference.
Absolutely. I agree. Switching gears a little. One of the things I know you're very passionate about is leadership development. You're the board chair and actively involved with the Leadership Forum. Tell us about this, and are there applications for health and well-being?
Sure. Well, the Leadership Forum community is a 103-year-old startup. It started out as an organization, a conference that brought management together with union leadership and union members to address human issues in management back in 1918. And since then, it's been an annual conference, you know, in-person effort. And increasingly, the focus was on just leadership. And about 18 months ago, we became a not-for-profit 501c3, and I'm very fortunate to be on the board, and I serve as the board chair of this startup. What's our mission as an organization today? And the way we characterize it is, it's about democratizing conscious leadership. What do we mean by democratizing? We mean that it has to know no barriers. So, you know, it's for everyone, and it's everyone at all ages, across all socioeconomic status, across, you know, large organizations, to community organizations, to government and so forth. Conscious, it means that we really need to step back and think about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I think it gets down to kind of purpose and moral purpose to a degree. So that's what we mean by conscious. And then leadership, it is all those elements of leading. So, you know, and it's the skills, the aptitude, the networking associated with becoming a more effective leader. Again, at all levels, all ages, it's a multi-generational organization. And fortunately, because of the events of the last year or so, we became much more virtual. So we now do sessions across, you know, the entire year. We have a summit as well, but we have representation from Europe, from Africa, from I think we had a representative from Asia and certainly a U.S. strong U.S. presence. But you asked the question, Jim. You asked it. You know, what about health and well-being? And I think what I would say is, if we think about the health of society, if we think about the issues that we talked about before about health equities, disparities, social determinants of health, is you can't address those issues. You can't have a healthy if you don't have leadership that is more conscious and more democratized. So, you know, we do see that, you know, achieving meaningful results in the health and well-being area involve leading and, you know, and conscious. It means that we don't just play to the boardroom, so to speak. We also get, you know, into the communities and not, you know, and communities of color, communities where, you know, the financial well-being of the people who live there is not good. That's what we mean by democratizing conscious leadership. And I think they're integrally related to health and well-being and truly community success, let alone organizational success.
Thanks, Howard, for sharing your thoughts on leadership. I really love hearing your perspective.
So what are your top three takeaways for this episode that you would want our listeners to remember?
Top three takeaways. You're asking me to narrow it down, Jim. One is, I think it's about that value creation. That's number one. And second, it's about having a disciplined process. And third, it's, I think, about continuous learning and improvement. So as I think about value is, you know, the old expression, WIFM, you know, what's in it for our clients? What's in it for the members that we serve in whatever function and whatever job we have? You know, really put yourself in the other person or the other organization's shoes and create value. You have to be like so focused on that. And then I think success will come. You know, there's some sizzle involved, but it's more about a disciplined process, whether it's measuring, you know, things in a good way and monitoring progress. It's a disciplined process to culture change and honest a process. All of this just requires a disciplined kind of approach. And then you can, because it's, again, it's not that snazzy. It's not like magic. So that's the second takeaway. And then the third thing is, I think this applies to organizations and it certainly applies to individuals and it certainly applies to me in terms of feeling like I've had an incredibly rich career up to this point. Is that idea of continuous learning and development? Is that, you know, how do we continually learn from others, maybe give back, hopefully give back, but learn and realize that, you know, tomorrow brings another day and maybe we can go back to that first point about, you know, if we keep learning, we'll actually be able to deliver more value tomorrow than we did today.
I think that's all really good points, and I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to sit down and pick your brain. We, like I said at the beginning, we've known each other a long time, and I think it's important that we stop and have conversations and understand life and health and well-being and leadership on lots of different levels. So. Really appreciate your time and being a guest for us.
My pleasure, Jim. And I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. By sharing stories, I think you have an ability to reach people in different ways. So I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit of the story that I've experienced over the last many years.
That's great. Thank you.
Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app or player. We also encourage you to rate this podcast. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.